what's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. We're going to chop up some good game as we always do. Today's show is brought to you by the Renisha and CJ Kickstarter. It's a black comic book by Isaiah Massey, a.k.a. Zay Arts. Renisha and CJ is a comic strip book about a boy named CJ and his struggle to face his fears. And finally, ask Renisha, a girl he had a crush on for years, to go to the prom with him. You can check the book out at Kickstarter. Go to Kickstarter, type in Renisha and CJ, and follow my dude on Instagram at ZayArts21 and at Mindless Designs Comics. All right? So what we're going to do, family, we've got a lot of stuff to chop up on today's broadcast. So let everybody know we're broadcasting live now. Go spread the word on social media. And we'll be right back after these messages, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you move a muscle.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
What's up, family? Are you down for black empowerment? Because black empowerment is more than just a slogan. It's truly becoming a lifestyle. On Code Clothing is the brand that's unapologetically black and fly. Make no mistake, this gear is exclusive and not for everyone. You got to be grassroots aligned and coded up to truly appreciate this lifestyle brand. Check them out now at oncodeclothing.com. Sign up now and save 10% on everything in stock and follow them on social media at oncodeclothing. Would you like to make six figures or more providing court-mandated classes like anger management, DUI, or shoplifting prevention? If so, go to courtmandatedtraining.com and sign up for the free webinar that will help you get started, even if you have no experience. So if you want to get that bag, if you want to get some money and do it the right way, go to courtmandatedtraining.com to learn more. Again, that's courtmandatedtraining.com. What's up, family? If you are a professional or elite waiver, or beginning waiver, or you want to step your wave game up to the next level, then be sure to check out Ocean View Brand hair products found at oceanview.website. Ocean View Brand is the home of the Ocean View Deep Wave Pomade, which is ranked top 10 on Google's best pomade searches and reviews. So you need to step that wave game up right now. They have do-rags in different colors. They have wave kits. They have everything you need to get your wave game on point. Also, follow Ocean View Brand on Instagram and go to oceanview.website to get all their wave-related content and products right now. Yo, cupcake season is right around the corner, family, and you need to get your fragrance game all up in order. So you need to check out ashkicking.com. That's a black-owned business that sells all-natural health and beauty products, and it also has fragrance products. You can get beauty products such as body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more. So again, you need to check out ashkicking, that's K-I-C-K-I-N, .com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail? Or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
Your mom's a hoe.
What's up, family? We're back. Glad to have you guys tuning in to Tariq Radio. A lot of stuff we're going to chop up on today's show. Oh, man, I'm glad to have you guys here. And also, let me thank everybody for participating in the Kickstarter for the new buck-breaking documentary. You can go and support that at Kickstarter.com and type in buck-breaking. Or if you're watching us live on YouTube right now, you can just click below. There's a link where you can click the Kickstarter and go to Buck Breaking on Kickstarter and be a part of the production. Or if you're listening on iTunes Radio, you can go to buckbreakingmovie.com. So much respect to everybody who has contributed to that, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of stuff we got to talk about on today's show. Today's topic, we're talking about understanding societal chess moves. That's what we're talking about on today's broadcast. And while I'm talking, everybody hit that like button and hit the subscribe button, ladies and gentlemen. All the people tuning in, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button. We have to understand the importance of how society is like a chess game. And especially as melanoid people, as black people, we have to understand that game. See, a lot of folks in the dominant society, they understand how to play societal chess. But a lot of us in global black society, we just have a checkers mentality. And the difference between chess and checkers, with checkers, it's all about just grabbing the first opportunity that becomes available. Checkers, you see an opening, you see an opportunity, you just kind of jump at that opportunity. Chess, on the other hand, you have to think 10 moves ahead. You have to think many, many moves ahead. You got to look at how the whole game is being played. You have to look at all types of pieces that are being manipulated by other entities. You have to be very aware of certain entities before you win the game. And we, unfortunately, too many of us, we think like checkers players. We don't want to look at chess in the game of life. We don't want to look at life as a chess game. And we don't want to acknowledge how other entities can move certain pawns, rooks, and other players. This is something that we have to really be cognizant of. And nothing shows this more than the case with our brother again, Nipsey Hussle. And for those who don't know, we've been talking about it for the past few days, and you know, this is still a fresh topic with our brother Nipsey Hussle being murdered here in Los Angeles. You know, the energy is still real funny style in the air, and we have to look at this whole thing and we got to be realistic about it. We got to be realistic about it. And also, we got to be realistic about the way certain people are reacting to it. Now, those of us like myself, I believe that there is a greater conspiracy at hand. I said that from day one. But if you notice, there are a lot of people, I won't say people, there are a lot of accounts online. Notice, family, how so many people or accounts online are trying to detour people from looking at it from a conspiratorial perspective. Notice how there's a lot of people who's really adamant about saying, this ain't no damn conspiracy. This is nothing but black on black crime. You see all these people trying to use this as an opportunity to keep steering the narrative to what about black on black crime and how bad black people are. You notice that? There's a lot of that, and we can't ignore that. We can't ignore that fact. And we got to see where that's coming from. Where's that narrative coming from? Why are certain people engaging in that narrative? Because when we look at this case, we got to be very clear. There's something more to what we're being told when we look at this case. There's way more to it than what we are being told, ladies and gentlemen. We got to be very realistic about that. Yes, there's a lot of Sambo babble out here. There's a lot of trolling out here, but we got to be very realistic about what's going down. Now, let's look at some updates about what we know. Now, for those who don't know, they caught the quote-unquote suspect. They caught the suspect, was it yesterday? I think they, and I'm saying caught in air quotes. But let's unfold everything and let's see if it makes sense, because I've been pretty adamant about my position from day one. The day everything happened, when I was down there in LA looking and seeing what was going on, I said this looked like a military style killing, but it was by somebody in the neighborhood. We knew that, and I still stand by that. It was a military style execution, meaning that's the kind of execution that they do under military orders. The way that our brother was shot like that, that was a military style execution, meaning we're going to make sure this person is dead. Now, there are some trolls out there and also some agents out there who's saying, well, y'all talking about the military did it. No, we didn't. And watch out for a lot of that misinformation. The key word is style. You got a lot of these Sambos out here trying to spread misinformation, and that's very deliberate. The clout chasers talking about Tariq and them talking about the military had did it. It was somebody from the neighborhood. It wasn't no military. We know it wasn't nobody from the military. We're talking about the style in which it was carried out. And they know that. Watch out for misinformation. Watch out for misinformation. But let's look at this. The killer, a dude named Eric Holder, that was the one they caught yesterday. Now, from what we know from reports, Nipsey, our brother, went up to the store just kind of on a whim. He didn't plan on going to the store, but from what I understand, somebody that he knew, a partner of his, got out of jail, who's been in jail for 20 years, so Nipsey was going to meet him at the store to get some fresh gear to get him right before he went home. Okay? Now, have you guys heard that part of the game? I want to make sure the people in the chat room are with me, because this is one of the reports that came out. And I'm taking my time with it, because we need to understand every detail and how it plays into the next detail. So people don't think we're whistling Dixie. Okay? So his partner, one of his partners got out of jail. So Nipsey went up there to the store. And Nipsey went without his security. Okay? Let's keep all these details in mind. I'm going to go slow. I'm going to go very slow with this. He did not have his bodyguards go up there with him. Do you guys remember the other day when I did my broadcast, a brother called up and said he was Nipsey's bodyguard's brother. Remember that? A couple of days ago. And he confirmed that the bodyguard was off that day. Now we got some people in the chat room. Hold on. We got some people in the chat room saying, Tariq, just stop. Hold on. Now, let's see if we got some people trolling, or do they have some real information that we need to relay. Now, am I saying anything that's wrong? Let's stop here, because we got to put some of these people on Front Street. Now, somebody in the chat room, now he might be trolling, but Chief X, let me have you speak up. Am I saying something incorrect? Okay, so he's just trolling. Okay, that's what I want to slow it down. So if I'm saying anything that's incorrect, speak now or forever hold your peace. Okay, he's trolling. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to get some of these trolls up out of here. Shout out to Christine's World. How are you, beloved? Yeah, if y'all trolling, we need to get these trolls out of here, because we're going to speak truth to power. We're not going to have that. And notice, we'll see a lot of that. I'm going to talk about that later, how you got a lot of these fake accounts saying, oh, man, that ain't true. Man, you wrong for that. And then they don't elaborate. That's very deliberate. It's not just random trolls. A lot of these folks are being put out there. These are little agent provocateur websites. All right. But let me get on to the facts. So Nipsey's bodyguards weren't there. So Nipsey went up there. And then all of a sudden, a known snitch, a known informant, a known dude from the neighborhood who has worked with police comes to the shop at the Marathon store. Okay? Now understand the Marathon store. Before it was the Marathon store, what's the name of the store? It was Sloss and Tees. Y'all remember that? All my LA people. It was called Sloss and Tees. It was still Nipsey's joint, but they changed the name to the Marathon store some years later. That store, for a lot of folks who are not from LA, that store has been raided before several times. The police has been up there harassing Nipsey, gaffling him and some of his other partners up. They've been doing that for years over at that store. Did y'all know that? These are facts. I put up video of this. Just want to put that out there so we can understand the greater context. When we see the police trying to give praise to Nipsey now, remember, they were harassing him for a long time. All my LA people know that. Now, again, I put the video up to show you. They were harassing the brother for a long time. So, Nipsey's at the store. This random informant, not a random informant, but somebody they know from the neighborhood, somebody who the neighborhood knows is the snitch, somebody who allegedly, who has been known to, from people in the neighborhood, to, they said he had mental illness issues. And he was a known informant. So he goes up there. And remember, Nipsey wasn't planning on being at the shop that day. Okay, let's put, we're putting all this together. But this guy goes up there looking for Nipsey, this informant. Nipsey is like, man, you got to get away from me. From what I understand, reports are saying that Nipsey's like, this guy's a snitch. I'm cool. Nah, I don't want you up here. Right? And this snitch is known for catching a couple of bodies. Okay? So Nipsey tells this snitch to get on off the block. So he leaves. Now Nipsey's up there taking pictures with other people. One person, the Ayana girl. That's the one, I think, with the her child. And she was there with some other people. And, you know, people were questioning her and some other people she was with. And from what I understand, she's innocent because I talked to some of her people. She was actually basically a tourist. She was there with some of her family. They were from out of town. They're from Colorado. But she was the one, I think, she shot the footage of the aftermath of the shooting. So a lot of people were questioning who she and some of those other people were. So some of those people were tourists, from what I understand. So the Ayana girl is good. She didn't have anything to do with it, from what I understand. Because there were some people trying to say on the streets that she had gang ties. That's not true out here. That's not true. So Nipsey's out there with some fans who's visiting, because that is a tourist attraction still. People like going by the store to get stuff. Very popular store. So all of a sudden, the snitch comes back. The informant comes back. This guy comes back, broad daylight, walks through that alley that we've been telling people about. He walks through the alley. He goes and finds a getaway driver who just happens to conveniently be available. It's this chick who was the getaway driver. She drives up there, parks down the alley. He walks up the alley, goes up to Nipsey and does an execution style, military style murder. And the guy kept going back to make sure Nipsey was dead. Shot him 5 times in the body, went back to check, ran off, went back and shot him in the head to check, ran off, then ran back and then kicked him in the head and then left. Okay? Then he bounced. And people are saying, well, he did that unusual military style execution. He did it because he's a hater and black folks be hating. That's just what goes on in the hood. because black people be haters and we is our own worst enemy. Right? That's what we're told, right? That was military style. That's how you kill somebody when you're on some kind of military mission. That is a military style hit. That means you're doing it under certain orders. That's a, you better make sure that person is dead. Make sure you killed that person. By making sure that person is dead. People are Sambo babbling. That's what we mean by military style. Now, people can, you want to grapple with the semantics of it or knock yourself out. But most shootings in the hood, people ain't doing it in broad daylight. You're not that comfortable that you're going to get away. That when you do something like that in broad daylight without covering yourself up and you're running back and forth to do it, that means you're comfortable because you got some kind of backup. Also, let's rewind for a minute. The guy goes up there to the store. How did he know Nipsey was up there? Let's ask questions. Was Nipsey's phone, or was he being tapped? Was he being monitored by higher people? And this guy goes up there. He sees that Nipsey has no bodyguards with him, so now the coast is clear. So the guy leaves after he sees that Nipsey ain't got no gunners up there with him. Am I making sense? Let me know if I'm jumping out the window here. The guy goes up there, sees ain't no gunners around, the bodyguards aren't around, so now the coast is clear. Okay, so the guy goes back knowing the coast is clear. You see how casual he just walked up on Nipsey and started shooting? But we're told this is just a mentally ill hater. Okay? That dude went up there and saw that the coast was clear. Let me tell y'all something. A lot of times when people are being monitored, they monitor folks and they just wait for an opening. That happened with Malcolm X. When Malcolm got killed at the Audubon Theater, Malcolm didn't have his usual security with him. Do y'all know that? There was some people that Malcolm usually has with him, and he didn't have his usual security with him at that Audubon Theater. The minute they saw that opening, they got him. They were already ready. Look up the assassination of Malcolm X. They were just waiting for an opening. They were waiting for Malcolm to slip up. Just give them an opening and they're going to go in. And the minute he didn't have his regular folks with him, they got him. These things don't happen in a vacuum, family. So anyway, and again, a lot of folks, they try to just chop this up as, well, this is something that just happens in the hood. And the gentleman called my show the other day, the guy from LA, and he was saying, yeah, this is some hood stuff, it's some hood stuff. And I agreed with the brother all up until the getaway. And I told him, I said, brother, everything you're saying about it, it's a dude in the hood, I know that. Dudes be hating. I know dudes be hating. Man, dudes be out here killing. I know that. Man, dudes felt disrespected, so he went up there. Okay, I get all that. But what people are not selling me on is the getaway. See, this is the thing that a lot of these so-called naysayers, they don't want to talk about, that getaway, because this is where it goes off the rails. They just want to stick to this black folks ain't it and black on black crime and black folks are just haters and we are our own worst enemy. See, that's easy because that's your own self-hatred. But when you start talking about, okay, let's explain that getaway. See, a lot of folks want to avoid that because now we're going to have to acknowledge some real truths and all that. He's just a black hater. That ain't gonna fly when we're talking about this damn getaway. I understand folks get shot. I understand sometimes it's on sight. I understand that that happens in the hood. Folks get shot. Folks get killed. There are haters. I got it. But let's talk about that getaway. What I'm not, y'all not explaining this getaway. Nobody's explaining this getaway and making it make sense. So whenever you see these naysayers, and again, most of them are trolling, by the way, but get them to explain that getaway. You can't explain that getaway with a straight face. You can't explain that worth a damn. That's why they want to stick to the name calling. When people start calling names, that means they run out of logic and they're trying to deflect from the fact that they don't have any logical answer. Y'all ain't selling me on this getaway the way they're trying to tell us. I'm with you up into all the hater stuff. Okay, I got all that. But now when you're trying to tell me this dude did this brazen act of murder, military style execution, broad daylight, a high profile personality, all of a sudden he runs down an alley and there are cameras in that back alley. There's cameras all over there where the Marathon store is that they could have gotten within 20 minutes. You can go in those stores and say, let's see the footage. Let's see who this person is and let's get them. They did not do that. When they didn't immediately do that, red flag. Why didn't they do that immediately? Let's ask questions here. Why didn't they immediately get that footage? I want my naysayers to come on in the room and give us some light on this. Make it make sense. I don't want to hear somebody was talking about, well, Justice Smollett, it took them 2 weeks. We ain't talking about no damn Justice Smollett over there. This is a whole different place. We're talking about a whole different thing. They had that Justice Smollett. But well, with the Justice Smollett thing, there was nothing to see because the crime didn't happen. There wasn't no Justice Smollett footage. The crime didn't happen. That's why it wasn't no damn footage with Justice Smollett. But the thing is, with that footage, there's all types of cameras over there. They could have had that camera footage in an hour and putting it out there like, hey, where is this guy? They didn't. There was no real sense of urgency for them to find out who the suspect was and how everybody should be looking out for this person who just did a execution-style murder in broad daylight. Wouldn't it make sense to say, hey, look, the public is in danger with this person, this armed and dangerous killer, walking around right now? They didn't do that. It was folks on the internet who revealed the identity of this person. And remember, they didn't put this person's information out or picture out for days. It took them 2 days to put this person's information out. Why did it take 2 days for them to do that? Don't tell me that they didn't have the footage, and don't tell me they didn't know, because you had people on the internet naming this guy. You had people on the internet naming this guy. So now this guy does this killing, he gets away, he gets in this car. Now they don't know where the car is, so now this guy is on the run. Everybody in the neighborhood knows who he is. The police are swarming the neighborhoods. All types of agencies are looking around the neighborhood for this guy. And they cannot find this guy. They couldn't immediately find this guy. It took them days to find this guy. That right there don't make no sense. Now let's make sense out of that. Family, help me. Where was this guy? Where do y'all think this dude was for 2 days? That's a long time, family. That's a long time for a low profile killing. They usually catch somebody, you know, forget about first 48. They catch them within the first 24 hours. But again, this is a known informant. No. I'm gonna get on the Bellflower thing in a minute. No, before he got to Bellflower, and that's another thing. Where was this dude? Let's make sense out of it. Let me talk to my LA people. Where was this dude? Logically, let's put your thinking caps on. This dude can't go back to his neighborhood. He can't go back to the set. They're all looking for him. He can't go to anybody else's set. Every set in LA was looking for this dude. Every set in LA was looking for this dude. This dude wasn't in no Vegas, and that's another thing. I kept seeing several fake accounts with somebody, people pretending to be the guy. That looked kind of strange, too. There were several fake accounts of people pretending to be the guy. Where in the hell was this guy? Because let me tell you something. A lot of y'all don't know. In LA, there's neighborhoods that black people, even if you're not a fugitive, you can't just waltz up in certain neighborhoods as a black person. There's certain places, black folks, you just can't be walking around somewhere like Orange County. You can't just be, I'm telling you, as a black person, you show up in somebody's neighborhood, a non-black neighborhood, you're going to already be looked at as suspicious. You just can't walk up in certain neighborhoods if you're not black. I mean, if you're black and you're walking up in certain non-black neighborhoods. There's certain Mexican neighborhoods you can't even walk up in without people checking you. Where in the hell was this guy? There's certain places you simply can't go as a black person. So now we got this fugitive running around LA somewhere, allegedly. This guy's on the run. And all of a sudden, 2 days later, they decide to say, hey, after the social media folks and everybody online has circulated this man's name and picture, and even the getaway driver, all of a sudden they say at the last minute, 2 days later, hey, can you find this guy? Can y'all help us? Can y'all please help us with this whole fake? Can y'all help us find this guy? When they did that, I said, oh, they already know what this guy is. So all of a sudden, at the last minute, they put this guy mugshot on television, and then a few hours later, after they put his mugshot out there, they find him outside of a mental facility in Bellflower. This dude was outside of a mental facility in Bellflower. How did he get to Bellflower? How did he get to Bellflower? Let's just ask questions here. He's out there. They arrested him. Did y'all see when they arrested him? Y'all see how refreshed this dude looked? This was a dude who's supposed to be a fugitive who eluded the law for days. This dude looked like he just came from the damn barbershop. He was all nice, well, and rested. Clean, shaven. Looked like they just faded him up. I'm like, for a fugitive, this dude looks real relaxed for a damn fugitive. This dude, clean clothes. I mean, what is this? What is this? Like he came from a day spa. Like they had some little avocados on his skin. I mean, this dude was just real good. And notice how calm and how subtle and careful the police were dealing with this guy. The police were all gentle with this dude. I'm like, wait a damn minute. Wait a minute. Yeah, the t-shirt was clean and pressed like he ironed his clothes. They all gentle and careful and casual with this dude, putting him in the car all gently. Watch your head now. When do they do that? Yeah, TMZ all out there taking pictures. What the hell is this? I'm supposed to be buying all this? When do they treat a black killer like that? Family, come on. A known gang member, this dude got Crip tattoos all over his body. This dude just did an execution-style murder in broad daylight. And they walking this dude like they taking him to the prom. And I didn't see all those helicopters and all the SWAT teams and none of that. It was just the sheriff deputies. I'm like, well, they are real cavalier with this dude. Do y'all know how they treat gang members in L.A. for just walking around? When they see gang members in L.A., they're like, hey, get down, cross your legs, get on your knees, put your hands behind your back. This is just for you walking around. If you look like a gang member, They make you lay down all on your face, get on the grass, put your face on the grass. Man, please. And now with this dude, okay, watch your head now. Come on. Are the cuffs too tight? Everything okay? They're treating this dude gentle as hell. I'm like, wait a minute, man. Wait a minute, man. This don't look right. I'm not buying this. Something is up with this dude. Look how they did me. Did y'all see the footage of me when they raided my house last year? They roughed me up more than him. They're like, lift your damn shirt up. Get on. Put your hands up in your. Go get the kid. My kids with their hands up. I'm like, damn. My kids got jelly stains and Capri Sun juice on them. Put your hands up, Mateo. I'm like, damn. But this dude just did an execution-style murder in broad daylight. And they walk around this dude like he's got a jaywalking warrant. I'm like, oh, I ain't buying this. And then they arrest this guy, quote-unquote. Looked like they done got him out of some kind of safe house, a hotel somewhere. Because nobody explaining where this guy was. So they take him down and put him in solitary confinement. And they put out this fake story talking about, well, he's afraid for his life. Stop it. And then the getaway driver says, oh, I didn't know that he was committing a murder. And they said, okay, we believe you. And they did not arrest the getaway driver. Come on, family. Where they do that at? Come on now. At this point, are they even trying? They're letting you know that this is a conspiracy at this point. They're not even trying to hide it at this point. Come on. So make it make sense to me. Y'all tell me where they do that at. Any of these, it ain't no conspiracy naysayers. Where you at in the room? Tell me you believe that. You believe that this ain't a conspiracy. A getaway driver drove this dude around who just did a high-profile execution murder. She sat up here and said, oh, I didn't know he was doing that, and then they let her go, and we ain't supposed to believe that this is a conspiracy? Really? I mean, they're not even trying to hide it no more, y'all. They don't let you go like that. All getaway drivers say they didn't know what was happening. Oh, I was just in the car. I didn't know what he was doing. All getaway drivers say that. They don't care. Getaway drivers get the same sentence as everybody else. And not only did they let her go, she's doing interviews with TMZ. She did a phone interview with TMZ. I'm like, what the hell is this? Y'all can't tell me this ain't no damn conspiracy. This ain't normal, and y'all know it ain't normal. Unless you're working with them folks. Unless you're working with these people, and now, they arrested the guy. And they gave him a bail. The guy has a $7 million bail. How he get a bail? That's another thing. What kind of charges they trying to put on this dude? How did he get a bail? This dude got a $7 million bail for doing a high-profile execution murder in broad daylight on cameras all over the place. That ain't normal either. This dude got a $7 million bail. So nobody can make sense of none of that. You can't make sense of that by telling it the way it's told. It makes zero sense. Now, what does make sense? The only thing that makes sense is if you put it in the context of him working with some folks within law enforcement, because this man is a known informant. Nipsey Hussle was already targeted by law enforcement. As we see, we know he was raided nonstop. And again, doing the kind of work our brother was doing, those in the dominant society, they don't like that type of stuff. So that's always going to put a target on you. They're trying to gentrify that area, and he's telling black folks to buy up the block and do business and buy up businesses. So that's not a message they want black folks to know. Let's just look at history. So now you get this informant who, it seems, let's look at it from a hypothetical situation. What if, and I'm talking hypothetically, I'm not talking in absolutes, but I'm just talking hypothetically because we don't know the facts for sure, but I'm just using logic and what looks logical. And hypothetically, remember the key word is hypothetical. I got the tinfoil koofy on. Hypothetically, it could be a situation where Nipsey was being monitored by some folks. They got tipped off that Nipsey was going to that store. They sent their informant up there. Nipsey immediately recognized that the dude shouldn't be around there. The dude's a snitch. He didn't want him around. The dude went up there, got some intel, saw that Nipsey didn't have no bodyguards with him. So the dude went back and they put the other plan in operation. They had this ready-made getaway driver right there. He went and did this hit. He went somewhere in a safe house because as an informant, you have safe houses in which where you meet up with law enforcement. And we're still talking hypothetical here. This is hypothetical. So he's up in some damn safe house while everybody's running around looking. He's somewhere posted up, resting, eating Popeye's chicken for a couple of days. They have the fake, let's look and see where he is. Let's act like we're looking for him. While there's all types of retaliatory killings around the city. So now law enforcement has moved into the city. They're gaffling folks up. Their presence is known now. Now they got all these black gangster stories and all the black community is this. All black folks need to get it together. We keep hearing all these black folks are bad stories. Gang members are bad. We keep hearing all this gang stuff. So this guy's posted up chilling, hypothetically, somewhere in a safe house. And then all of a sudden, at the last minute, he somehow gets down to Bellflower, which they probably took him down there, or he might have been at a safe house in Bellflower. And then they said, okay, look, for your cooperation in doing this, because the conversation probably was, and hypothetically, this is all hypothetical, look, Negro, as an agent, we got you by the nuts and we need you to do something for us. We need you to do this hit. And he says, well, damn, if I do that, I go to jail. No, we'll arrange it so that you don't, you know, get a long sentence. Because, you know, we could just throw you in jail right now. You just do life. But if you do this, we'll work something out where you can get a lighter sentence. So what we'll do, we'll have you do this. And after you do it, we'll keep you safe. We'll keep you off the streets so the streets won't get you. And then we'll drop you off in front of a mental facility so now we can play the mental illness card. We can say, well, you had a schizophrenic episode where you didn't know who you were or what you were doing. And once you realize that you come to because you blacked out, you didn't know what happened because you have mental illnesses, you immediately ran to the mental health facility to try to get help, and that's when we caught you. There's a reason they had him at that mental health facility, family. That's way too damn convenient. That's way too convenient. So now, if he goes to court, they're going to use the insanity plea. That's the first thing they're going to use. And he might get off on that. They might say, okay, we'll sentence you to a mental institution. Do y'all know the guy who did that killing down there in Memphis? Was it Memphis or Nashville? That white supremacist who shot up that Waffle House? They said he was mentally unfit. They said he was mentally unfit to go to trial, and he's in a mental institution now. So they're trying to let him walk right now. So I'm not speaking in far-fetched scenarios. You ding? So that's hella convenient for them to say, okay, look, we're going to use that insanity plea because we see that you tried to get help. It's in Nashville. Okay, yeah, there you go. This thing is real, man. So we got to put our thinking caps on. We have to put our thinking caps on. Now look at some of the naysayers. Because again, what I said, that's plausible. the hypothetical scenario that I gave, that's the plausible scenario. What's implausible is for you to have me to believe that this dude went and did this murder and there's a getaway driver and the getaway driver told the police she didn't know what was going on and they let her go and I'm supposed to buy that? Stop playing with me. You better go sell that to somebody else because you don't even believe that. See, look at a lot of people who are sitting up talking about, oh, that's a conspiracy. Oh, y'all lying. All of these accounts doing that, that gives me further reason to believe it because some of these people online, they seem to be trying a little too hard to discredit folks who are looking at the chess game here. They seem to be trying way too hard to discredit people. Why are y'all trying so hard to discredit people from looking at a bigger picture? Some of these people are trying unusually too hard, which shows me there's something else at play. When all these people get on code and they try their damnedest to discredit folks, usually you're right about something. Usually that means you're on to something. Y'all saw when I was going in on Kamala Harris and all those people from the Democratic Party were targeting me, trying to discredit me. That's because what I was saying was right and everybody else saw it. But the thing is, when certain people try too hard to discredit you or discredit anybody who's looking at it from a bigger perspective, we have to look at them. Now, generally, there's about six type of people that we're going to see trying to run with the whole, it's just the black people. Black people are bad. It ain't no conspiracy. There's generally six type of people you're going to see online who do that. Usually, you're going to see six type of people. The first type of person you're going to see do that, that's just going to be the attention trolls. It's those people who are like, well, let me just say something dumb so that people can respond to me and then I get me some attention. So, you know, that's a given. You got certain people who are contrary just for the sake of being contrary. And they know that people will start arguing with them. And that's the only way they can get attention. You know, these are these lonely, moist Negroes. You dig? And they're only, they can't even get no social media clout. And did you saw, you see, there were videos of little Negroes clout chasing by pretending they were driving away from the scene. And, you know, we have that little moist trick made culture out here now where these dudes were raised by single mothers and they will do anything for attention. You know, they got those feminine characteristics. So anything, let me say something dumb for attention. Let me do something dumb for attention. Everything is all about doing something or saying something dumb. Because they try to get attention like women. See, women like attention, and it's justifiable for women to get attention. It's not justifiable for dudes to just do stuff for attention. Because, see, women can use their sexuality to get attention. And some of these dudes, they try to make that pussy do what it do, but it just don't work like a woman's sexuality. So a lot of these dudes have to go and resort to other measures in order to get some damn attention. And usually cats see that acting stupid or saying something stupid will get them attention. You dig? So you'll see a lot of that. Just the, let me be oppositional just for the sake of being oppositional. And then the second type of naysayer that you're going to see in relation to this case, you're going to see a lot of these failed broadcasters, meaning there's a few cats out here. There's a lot of dudes out here who got little SoundCloud pages and they got little YouTube channels where they try to be podcasters or broadcasters or rappers and nobody listens to them. So they're desperate to try to bring some attention to their little tired ass broadcasts. You got a lot of that. Notice when certain people post stuff online, especially on Twitter, and then it might go viral. They might post a random video and then it go viral, and then when they see it goes viral, they're like, oh damn, well since y'all here, go to my SoundCloud page because I do poetry and I raps, you know. As some of these Negroes are just so desperate for acknowledgement, because a lot of cats don't get no acknowledgement. So an acknowledgement is like currency. Yeah, you got a lot of these mush mouth dudes who nobody really wants to listen to. And they, you know, they see social media influencers like myself and others. So they think, oh, they're going to hate us down. You dig? So you got a lot of the mush mouths out here who are trying to discredit. And the third type of people you're going to see online, you're going to see straight up agents. You're going to see a lot of these sock puppet accounts. A lot of these people are working with the authorities. And we underestimate that. We underestimate the fact that a lot of people on social media are working with authorities. They're working with law enforcement, and their job is to put out misinformation, discrediting information. When you see a lot of these fake accounts going out of their way to tell you, this ain't no conspiracy, this just black on black, black people ain't it. A lot of these people are law enforcement. You think law enforcement want people looking at them? You think they want people to focus on them and their role in murder cases like that, and us looking at them and seeing if they're orchestrating stuff like that? Of course they don't want that. So of course they're going to have their social media channels out there trying to detour the heat off them. So you understand that. When these people are going out of their way to tell you this ain't no conspiracy, and I'm like, when you look into a comment section and there's literally thousands of bot and automated troll accounts with like one or two followers or something like that, or one or two posts, and real weird looking, and they're repeating the same phrases over and over again, that's law enforcement doing that. We have to look into that. And then what you have the fourth type of people you're going to see trying to detour us from looking at it from a conspiratorial standpoint. You're going to have a lot of undercover white supremacists. There's a lot of undercover white supremacists trying to go with the black on black crime narrative. Hey, this, and I say undercover because they pretend to be black. They have these accounts and they pretend to be black, and they be saying, hey man, we are a problem. It ain't no conspiracy. It ain't the white man. It's we. We is the problem. Those are a lot of white supremacists doing that. Getting on message boards, talking about how bad we are. We as a people need to get it together. A lot of these are straight up white supremacists with fake screen names. And you can tell some of them are white supremacists pretending to be black because they get the most niggerish pictures they can get. They always get some shit. You know, the white supremacists are about a year or so outdated, at least a couple of years outdated when it comes to so-called black culture. So if y'all see these profiles with niggas looking like, you know, they've been in a 2002 Jagged Edge video. They got do-rags on with fitted caps, extra baggy clothes. They just, they find these fake profile pictures of somebody with do-rags and Newports. It's always just the profile looks a little outdated. They got on a state property shirt, a big ass 3X jersey, real outdated. And also you can tell by the outdated slang they use. They overly use slang. They use a hell of a lot of slang, and they type in slang. Hey man, you be tripping like that. Ain't no damn conspiracy, fam. Why you be tripping like that, fool? F-O-O. Why you be tripping, fool? Ain't no conspiracy. We black folks got to get that thing together, Jive Turkey. Do you feel me? Okay, all right, dude. You're doing too much. All right, Kyler. Yeah, it's a little bit too much yo-yo-yo. It's way too much yo-yo-yo with their nonsense. Yeah, they, and you can tell by their screen name. Big Joe for show. All right, dude. All right, Big Joe for show. Representing that N.O. Big Joe for show, repping that N.O. All right, Kirby. You doing too much, my dude. You real niggerish with it. You doing way too much to sound black. You did with the jive turkey talk. Now, as we know, the fifth type of people we see, and I've been seeing this a lot, you got a lot of these immigrants, these Negro immigrants jumping in the mix, trying to dogpile on black folks. I see a lot of them running around. This ain't no conspiracy. Black folks ain't it. Black folks is the problem. Those immigrants couldn't wait to dump on black people. A lot of these immigrants could not wait to use this as an opportunity to dump on black folks and also to dog whistle to Zaddy. Ain't no conspiracy. Y'all better stop blaming these good white folks. Ain't no conspiracy. I've been seeing a lot of these foreign flags, these Caribbean flags on their profiles, talking this stuff about how black folks is the problem and all this stuff. So we got to watch that. And last, number six, the last type of people we see a lot of scared Sambos running around here talking about ain't no conspiracy theory. Lord Jesus, what about, we need to look at ourselves. We need to look at ourselves. The problem is us. We need to stop talking about a conspiracy and we need to look within our own community. Okay, when people say that, tell them, okay, let's look in our community. Now, what's your problem? Why are you like this? Since it's a black thing, it's no conspiracy, and this dusty Negro who did it, and again, I'm not taking responsibility of him at all. Let's be very clear. He's a done deal. He's supposed to be a done deal. We ain't taking responsibility off him at all. The killer, ain't nobody taking not responsible. We're making him responsible, and that's why the whole hood was looking for him. But he don't represent me, and he doesn't represent any other black person in L.A. Let's be very clear. We got this thing that we're told by the white supremacists that the actions of every black person reflects on all black people. We're the only black, but we're the only people on the planet who go for that. White people don't do that. Asians don't do that. Hispanics don't do that. You never see Hispanics look at a Hispanic rapist or Hispanic murderer or look at El Chapo and then go around talking about, man, we Hispanics, we got to do better. They never say that because they don't look at that person as representing their whole group. Nobody does, but black folks are told every damn degenerate who does something stupid that reflects on us as a damn group, and we got to get rid of that narrative because that is not true. What the hell y'all mean we got to do better? What does that mean when some fool does some unusual ass brazen murder execution style in broad daylight? What does that mean we have to do better? What do we need to do? I want somebody in the chat room to explain, what do we need to do? How do we as a group detour that? Some maniac doing that type of killing that appears to be something that was orchestrated by outside forces. What do we do with that? How is that our responsibility? Nobody's co-signing it. How is that our responsibility? And people don't have an answer for that because it's just a cliche. Usually when they say, man, we just got to get it together, that's a signaling to white people. That's a signaling to white people to say, hey, white people, I'm not like one of them. I know you think all of them are bad, but I'm not. That's why Negroes who say that, they do it publicly and they always do it in front of white people. It's something to signal to them. What the hell are we supposed to do about this fool? The whole neighborhood was looking at him to get at him. So how are we responsible for an idiot like that? How are we responsible for that? Nobody's co-signing that. White people go around here killing, committing murder, mass shootings on a regular basis. They never say, man, we white folk need to get it together. They never say that. And then I hear some Negroes pull the, well, I hold black folks to a higher standard. No, the hell you don't. We don't. We should not be held to a higher standard. That means white supremacy right there. That's the whole basis of white supremacy. You hold us to a higher standard of punishment. That's what that means. We're going to be held to a higher standard of punishment, that we're going to get punished for every little thing that everybody does. No. No, you don't co-sign that. No, we should not be held to a damn higher standard, because what it is, we're held to an impossible standard. That dude who killed Nipsey, that was a lone wolf. If I ever seen one, that's not normal. That dude did that on his own. We believe with the help of those in the dominant society. Black folks didn't help him do that. Why the hell are we responsible? We didn't. Nobody black helped him do that. Nobody covered for him. We didn't help this fool do that. That's a lone wolf if I've ever seen one. But we're told to be held to an impossible standard, meaning that nobody's supposed to commit crime. And if anybody commits a crime in black society, then all of us are responsible. Do you know that's an impossible criteria to make? And this is what the white supremacists tell us. And then we internalize that and we start thinking that we have to be that. We don't have to be that. Because we can't be that. I want black folks to understand this. It's impossible. That's an impossible standard. There's 40-something million black people in America. We can't be responsible for all 40 million. Somebody's going to do something dumb. Somebody's going to commit a crime. We can't stop that. Just like in white society, somebody's going to be dumb. Somebody's going to commit a crime. They can't stop that. Hispanic society, somebody's going to do something dumb. Somebody's going to commit a crime. Black folks, that happens. One fool out of 40 million does a brazen murder like this, a high profile murder. Then all of a sudden, man, we are horrible people. We just stupid. We gotta do better as a group, as a community. We got to do better. That's Sambo talk. That's Sambo talk. It has nothing to do with blackness or black people or black society. And understand, a lot of the Sambo talk and the fear is because they don't want to look at the big chessboard. They don't want to look at all the pieces of the chessboard, because when you look at all the evidence and all the facts that are coming in, it clearly shows that there are some outside influences at work here. And see, that's what a lot of black folks don't want to deal with. See, it's easy to go after other black folks and say how stupid and dumb other black folks are. But to say, hey, look, there's a bigger system here where you have white supremacists orchestrating stuff from behind the scenes, using snitches against the community, which they have done for decades and decades and decades. See, now you're getting somewhere else. You got to go up against white daddy and start looking into what he's doing. And then that gets scary. That gets scary, because now we got to start talking about dismantling the system of white supremacy. So that gets scary, knowing that you have people who can orchestrate high profile murders like that. That scares a lot of black folks. And let's be real, a lot of us are scared. And that fear, that's not going to help you. It's good to have a healthy fear, but a cowardly fear, that's not going to help you. It's too easy to go for the, we just need to do better as a people. That's easy. So it's better to be in denial about the bigger chess move here, where you can see that this thing looks like it was orchestrated by outside forces. Now, was that a dusty Negro who did something he wasn't supposed to do? Of course. Nobody's giving him a pass. Nobody's giving him a pass whatsoever. But look at the situation. Look at it from a chess move perspective. See, we like playing checkers. Let's just look at the black person, and every black person who does something dumb, you dumb and stupid. You black and dumb. And we all dumb and black. No, that's chess. Look and see who's orchestrating this stuff. Look and see who's putting snitches like that in our neighborhoods. Look and see who's allowing these type of people to come around us. Look and see. See, we got to be responsible in as far as protecting our brothers like Nipsey Hussle and other people. I wish my brother was protected at the time. But again, when folks are on you, you never know when they'll catch you slipping. You never know. But we have to understand when there are outside influences orchestrating certain things. And you're just not going to sell me on this dude doing this murder. He didn't get touched. He just pops up in Bellflower and the getaway driver don't even get arrested. And we're supposed to just go with this whole program and act like this is normal, because it's not. I want to see who all is involved with this thing so that we can avoid this type of thing in the future. We need to be looking at every angle of this so we can know how to avoid it. They've been doing the same stuff to us for years, decade after decade. This ain't nothing new. This is why I'm like, why would this be some kind of far-fetched scenario when it's always done? How is this some kind of far-fetched tinfoil hats conspiracy when they've been doing the same thing over and over again, where there's FBI files and documents where they do this stuff? They've been doing it. When have they not done it? Let's just be real. When have they not? When have the authorities have? When have they not co-opted certain Negroes and used them as informants and agent provocateurs against all of black society? Tell me when they have not done that. They've done that with Marcus Garvey. They've done it with the Nation of Islam. They did it with Malcolm X. They did it with Medgar Evers. They did it with Dr. King. Remember, they were trying to kill Dr. King for a long time. Remember, they had a... Let's look at history. With Dr. King, there was an assassination attempt on Dr. King's life before they took him out there in Memphis. They had another mentally ill woman, a black woman, who they sent to stab Dr. King. She stabbed him. She's supposed to stab him in the heart, but she missed. Do y'all know that? They sent some black woman in the 1960s, same thing, with mental illness. Mental illness, same thing. Yes, she was supposed to stab him in the heart. She stabbed him, but she missed his heart. She almost got his heart. She stabbed him with a fingernail file or a nail file. And they put her in a mental institution. Do y'all know that? We're not reaching here. They've been doing this type of stuff. Some of y'all never knew that. And they try to hide that stuff. Google what I just said. The same scenario, a mentally ill person. So we're not reaching. They've been doing this type of stuff. They've been doing this type of stuff for years. So we got to keep our eyes open to the chess game. And it's okay to ask questions. Now, don't put the tinfoil koofy on too tight. Notice there was a lot of stuff that I wasn't retweeting. Like the stuff about Dr. Sebi. People like, oh, he got killed because of Dr. Sebi. I never retweeted that. I never even spoke on that, even though the video where Nipsey was on my show, he was on Ism Radio with me and the girls, and he was talking about Dr. Sebi, and the clip, people got that little clip where Nipsey was talking about Dr. Sebi and how his folks were telling him to be careful about doing a documentary like that. People got that clip, and then it went viral, and then it started trending and all that because... You know, he spoke kind of jokingly about, you know, fearing for his life if he did something on Dr. Sebi. So that went viral. But I wasn't, my biggest concern was what was happening locally. Because I know how they get down out here. I know how law enforcement is out here. So my thing was about who is locally involved with this thing. You dig? So we got to ask questions, and don't be afraid to ask questions. And when people are trying to get you to not ask questions, that means you're doing the right thing. When people are trying to get you to detour away from trying to find the truth and questioning stuff that don't make sense, that means you're on the right path. Don't let nobody try to detour you from that. You dig? Anyway, let me get up out of here. Like, everybody, click that subscribe button, family. If you have not, click the subscribe button below. A lot of folks in here right now. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Again, get involved with the new movie, Buck Breaking. All my family, hit that Kickstarter link in the chat room, or not the chat room, in the comment section. Hit that. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite on the gram. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. Ladies and gentlemen, and also we're going to get back on that reparations talk, because you notice this whole thing this week, that just derailed all the reparations talk. So we're going to get back on that. We're still going to get back on that. We haven't forgotten. We're still going to get on that, because again, they're trying to find a way to politicize this. And also, we got to be very careful about that whole black on black crime narrative, because now some of these mainstream media outlets, they're writing slander pieces against our brother Nipsey, which I do not appreciate. The Root, we knew what they were going to do. They wrote a slander piece, the garbage Root. They wrote something slanderous. And now NBC on their website, they had one of their buster ass plantation Sambos, that George Johnson dude who I warn people about all the time. They co-opt him to do a lot of slander pieces on black society. He wrote some garbage about Nipsey that came out today talking about toxic masculinity and Nipsey was homophobic. This man's body ain't even cold yet, and they're slandering dude. And we got to watch that. We black folks, we just awful people, because the white media, they use that against us. Because when y'all start talking about black folk, we just bad, man. We our own worst enemy. We just bad. Then that starts seeping into, well, Nipsey was talking about the streets and he was talking about guns. Nipsey, then they start using that same narrative to slander Nipsey, and then they go all the way out. You understand? We got to watch what we put out there. We got to watch what we put out there. And the fact that they got their Negro shea butter minions slandering that brother, you know, that shows why we need to keep certain people in our eyesights, and we need to stay on the backs of these shea butter turncoat minions. But anyway, I digress. But anyway, let me get up out of here, man. Go to buckbreakingmovie.com to be a part of the Buck Breaking Movie, or click the link below. Everybody contribute to Buck Breaking. Let's get that popping. And also, again, hit that subscribe button, everybody. And you guys have a good evening.